Sports Gamble Podcast.
Been ready, Holmes.
All right.
Born ready.
Born ready.
Welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast. I'm here with Manny, the moneymaker, Hernandez. I am Isaac Rocha, your co-host. And Manuel, before we get started breaking down these week three lines, I just got to put it out there, bro. You didn't do too well on the moneymaker picks last week.
What is the yearly record at now?
All right, so it's still early. It's still very early. So I don't want you to get down on yourself, and I know you're not that kind of person anyways.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to get down.
But you went 0-4 this week. You went 1-3.
Well, I went 0-4 last week. It's in the past, bro.
That's true. It was last week. It wasn't this week.
You kind of jinxing me there.
Dude, I think this is a bounce back week, man. Week three, got a good feel. I think you had a good feel for the games. I know that those weren't your only bets. Those were just your best bets.
So I'm not going to lay no excuses. That's just the way the ball bounces, you know. I felt good about where I'm at, reading the games, watching the games. My prognostications is what it is.
True. All right. Well,
but you're right. I mean, I'm glad you said that. You know what I mean? Not to be that type of guy where I'm not going to get overly, you know, happy. And, you know, I'm not going to just, you know, how do I put it? I guess loll around with the dregs of the world, you know? Just like, all right, well, that was cool. We got to get back into it, you know? And that's what I love about gambling is that every day is a new day. And there's always something that you could put your money down, and then you could, if you enjoy it that much, you could study it and try to get an edge. You know, there's English soccer going on all week, so we don't do an English soccer pod, but you know, I'm fairly happy and complacent where I am with the way I've been betting so far this fall. So it's just a shame I haven't been able to make it pay for our listeners, but I'll get there.
Oh, you will. I have no doubts that record by the end of the season will look a lot different. So keep checking for those. I'm really excited for the bounce back week this week. And with that, let's get into this week's lines.
Let's do it.
All right, we have Houston at New England tomorrow. I got this as a pick-em, Manuel, with the over-under at 40.5. The big news here is Jacoby Brissett, starting quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Jacoby Brissett. You know, I really wish I had some points to play around here on this game. I saw the line open, like New England plus 2.5. And, yeah, it just got taken out. I've even seen some New England minus 1. To be honest with you, I'm excited to get the week started, but I think this is the wrong game to get started as far as gambling-wise.
Right.
I don't really see a lot of anything concrete that can happen in this game. I'm not really getting a good vibe. I could, you know, Brock Osweiler's first game back on the road, for his team. We know that Bill O'Brien has that history, that connection with Bill Belichick. So, I mean, you have literally 2.5 days to prepare a new quarterback. The only thing exciting is that I'm anxious to see Julian Edelman take some snaps at quarterback, which I think is going to happen. I'm not saying that Brissett's going to get hurt, but I'm just saying that I know Bill Belichick's going to put in, you know, some Doug Flutie packages in there for him because he was a quarterback. I forget what college he went to, but he was a quarterback in college.
Yeah, but, I mean, even just beyond who's the quarterback, it's you're starting to get the feeling that it doesn't matter who's the quarterback for Bill Belichick. He's going to find a way to make the game competitive and make sure the team's has a good chance at winning. I mean, Garoppolo threw three touchdown passes last week.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, especially with the league now, it just – I mean, look, I know the money came in, poured in on Green Bay last week apparently. Even though the ratings were down, I guess that was the makeup game. We know everybody tries to win their money back on Sunday night. And who knew Sam Bradford was going to get his first, you know, win as a Minnesota Vikings starter against the, you know, the hated Green Bay Packers, you know?
Yeah.
But lo and behold, that was the Packers, I'll have you know, fourth game on the road. That was their fourth. I know people see it only as their second road game because they started out the season in Jacksonville. But going back to the preseason, that was a fourth road game in a row. So, I mean, you have to look, pay attention to these little nuances and just totally see that the -2.5, it went down to pick 'em, back to 2.5. It's just the bookies begging you to play a field goal, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to win by more than 2.5, you know, and then everybody, lo and behold, wins their money. But, yeah, you bring it back. This is just – this is literally a pick 'em game. And with the situation with Tom Brady, a lot of people are saying that if Bill Belichick was 2-2, you know, he'd be happy with that. He's already reached his goal. I don't think they're going to get, you know, blown out. But, yeah, this is not a game where you're looking to make some money on.
I totally agree. Fantasy-wise, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Miller have been great. They've been getting all the work. Will Fuller is definitely emerging for the Houston Texans. And, I mean, I really think just like last week, they're going to try to feed the ball to LeGarrette Blount on the New England side, and you're going to see kind of a conservative game plan. So 40.5 is a low number, but I think the under's possible in this game.
And I know the under has been getting the play, and that's where people are saying if they would bet, they'd bet it. I would say stay away. This game is totally – nobody could say they're going to predict anything. No, nothing is surprising, and everything would be surprising
in this game. I hear you, man. This is
I mean, it's just like, okay, you say like, oh, Houston's 2-0 and, you know, Hopkins and Lamar Miller getting the bulk of the – but they haven't played outside Houston. They've beaten the Bears, who are back to being the Bears, you know, and not
from the 80s. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that, man. It's looking ugly.
You know what I mean? And they've beaten Kansas City in a perfect revenge spot where they were very hyped up to get this team back for what happened to them in the playoffs. So situationally speaking, you know, I would have loved – for the Patriots to really have smoked the Dolphins. And that way, you know, this line would probably be, if Garoppolo was playing, it'd probably be closer to like New England, you know, +4.5. And I would have loved to take in, it would have been New England -4.5. And I would have loved to have taken the Houston Texans +4.5 because they have, you know, all that star power. Bill O'Brien knows Belichick's ways. You know, they have Fuller, they have Braxton Miller, they have Lamar Miller, they have Hopkins, you know what I mean? They got J.J. Watt on the edge, so Jadeveon Clowney, but that's not to be. So already I felt like we spent too much time on this game.
Yeah, let's move on. I don't really have anything else to say for this game. All right, so the early slate on Sunday, Washington at New York Giants, the G-men, 4.5-point favorites at home. Over-under is 46.5. The weather so far outlook is looking pretty good, man. What do you think?
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear we're going to have some pristine weather. I think we're going to end up getting the result here that we should have had week two via the Saints at New York. I think there's going to be two passing teams. You know, scoop up your Matt Jones, you know, your Shane Vereens. The over-under is 46.5. I could only bet it over, and I see that the under is getting the money. Washington's in a must-win situation. They're 0-2, division, you know, champs, defending division champs. So this is do or die for them. As it is, teams that start off 0-2 only have like a 12% chance of making the playoffs. So I can only, believe it or not, I can only bet my money with the Redskins. I think you've had two crappy home games. You're like the traveling salesman. You had a crummy week, and you know you got to get back to business, earn your money, and hit the road. And, you know, coaches are always selling something. Sometimes players maybe will buy it on the road. Maybe it's not the best analogy, but I think something's wrong with the New York Giants offense. I don't really believe in Victor Cruz. I definitely believe in Sterling Shepard, but I see it as a shootout and a field goal game, so give me the +4.5. I don't know what you have to say about that.
I don't have anything to add on the handicapping side, but just a few notes about fantasy. One, DeSean Jackson is dealing with an injury, so you might want to keep an eye on that. I think if he can't go or he's limited, you know, Garcon or maybe the rookie, Josh Doctson, could be interesting. I think this is the good Jordan Reed game, and Chris Thompson might be a sneaky play, although Matt Jones did look pretty good last week. He finally got in the end zone. Now, you said you don't really trust in Victor Cruz, but one person who does trust in Victor Cruz is Eli Manning. Odell hasn't really had that big breakout game yet, and I think that's just because they got three pretty good receivers now in Sterling Shepard, Victor Cruz, and Odell, and they're spreading the ball around. You know, it's not like Odell Beckham has been bad. It's just now he has some complementary weapons. Rashad Jennings is also dealing with an injury, so watch that, because if he can't go or he's limited, then Shane Vereen could definitely see a lot of work, especially like in PPR leagues or DraftKings. He might be a sneaky play.
Yeah, I really think that you're sleeping on Jamison Crowder. You know, like I said, DeSean Jackson, I heard he's been a little disgruntled. It's his contract year. You know, he's not really getting the ball like he wants it because, you know, he needs to get fed. He just had a family. But that's part of the reason that he missed the OTAs. And I think that Kirk Cousins really, you know, we know he has that rapport established with Jordan Reed. But I think Jamison Crowder set to cash in on all the lack of chemistry between DeSean Jackson and Kirk Cousins. So for me, as a DFS player, I would actually tend to lean a little bit more on Jamison Crowder, second-year wideout for the Redskins. But anyhow.
All right, moving on. We have Cleveland at Miami. Miami are 10-point favorites. I didn't think I'd say that this year. The over-under is 42.5 points. Cleveland starting Bakersfield's own Cody Kessler. Ooh, Miami leads the league in sacks. Their defense does. I think they're going to get a few sacks this game.
Yeah, you know, this line is awfully, you know, peculiar to me. I can't really take the 10 with Cleveland because their defense is so torrid. And Cody Kessler, I'm not going to bang, you know, negativity on the guy. I hope he does well, but from what I hear, you know, the Cleveland Browns reached on him. He's not really quite ready for primetime, but again, you know, who is? So I guess the only way to know is to throw him in there. And it's not a good situation overall for him. You know, apparently they reached for him. He's going on the Miami Heat. Not the basketball team, but I'm just saying. Going to play in that humidity. It's Miami's home opener. I can't take the plus 10. I can't lay it with Miami. I don't really trust Tannehill, but I don't think there's much to talk about in this game.
Yeah, from a betting perspective, I mean, I agree. 10 points is a lot to lay with Miami because they haven't built up any trust. That's for sure. One thing I will say. Go ahead.
I want to add, like, what would this line be if Cleveland had held on to beat the Ravens? You know, they stormed out to a 20-0 lead. And if Miami had just, you know, shut it down in the second half, the only reason they made a comeback was because New England shut it down because Garoppolo got hurt in the second half. But Miami was pretty much out of the game. They were down, like, you know, damn near 31-7. So yeah. I think it's an overreaction, but I'm not trusting the Dolphins to cover double digits.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust that either. Fantasy-wise, dude, so Corey Coleman, I guess, broke his hand in practice today. So that's another reason to be down on Cleveland.
Oh, shit. That's not good.
Yeah. I don't know what his status is, but he did break his hand. That's confirmed. So I think you need your hands to catch footballs. I think that if Cleveland gets behind, they're going to do a lot of safe dump-offs, and this could be a nice Duke Johnson game. I know Gary Barnes hasn't really gone off, but he's talented, as he's shown last year, and maybe Kessler's going to check it down a lot. So I see if you're going to play anybody on Cleveland, I would say Duke Johnson or Gary Barnage. On the other side of the ball, Arian Foster's dealing with an injury. So you got Jay Ajayi, who I think's in the doghouse with this team. And then you got a couple rookies in there, Drake. You got this Damian Williams guy. I don't even know what's going on in that backfield. I much prefer to wait and see what happens before I'm going to risk starting any of those guys. Jarvis Landry had a lot of catches last week. He could have a lot of catches this week. Devontae Parker is nice and sneaky. I think Miami puts up a lot of points in this game. I wouldn't put money for them to cover, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
You know, this could be a game where, like, it's the beginning of the end for the Cleveland Browns this season. I mean, we know they're already, like, in tank mode, but they're playing their third-string quarterback. Their wide receiving core is in shambles. Man, this is just terrible. This is bad.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I just can't trust Tannehill to lay it.
Oh, I agree. I think the Miami defense is a good DFS play. They're middle of the middle of the pack pricing wise, and they got a chance to put up some sacks, which leads to turnovers, which leads to touchdowns, which leads to money.
All right. Money in the bank.
Money in the bank. We have Detroit at Green Bay Packers. Green Bay are 8-point favorites at home against Detroit. Over-under is 48. This is one of the highest projected totals of the week. Amir Abdullah has been ruled out. What you got, Manuel?
Man, so, I mean, I know Green Bay is quite a public team. This is their home opener. Like I said, they've been on the road for over a month. I don't really see how they get 8 points. I saw the Jacksonville game week one, and I don't know if it was the humidity, but Green Bay, they looked very disheveled. Just the timing isn't there. I don't know if the receivers can't get separation. I don't know what's going on. He really hasn't established a relationship with a tight end. I mean, maybe some home cooking is just what the doctor ordered, but +8 in a division game is tough. I mean, the Detroit Lions, they straight up gave away a win last week against the Titans, and good job on your part. The debtors know it's 2-0, you know? Glad to hear that, because it also saved me a couple of times. So, but they can't dwell. They got to move on, and +8's too much for me. I think that the only thing about it is that Ezekiel Ansah, he's hurt, and I think he's probably Detroit's best defensive player. So I need to do some research on that history, that injury for him. But in a division game, 8 is too many. I mean, you just attach the name to Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to have to lay 8, but it's too much for me. I'm not saying I'm going to take a side with my money, but I don't advise that you take Aaron Rodgers with the 8.
Yeah. I mean, from the fantasy side, like I said, this is one of the highest point totals of the week. So there's going to be some points scored. You're going to start the people that you're going to start. Your Nelson, Cobb, Rodgers. I think we're in for a nice Theo Riddick game. But if we're playing fantasy, DFS, sorry, a lot of people are probably going to start Theo Riddick because he's not too high priced. And you know he's good for some catches, and it's PPR. So. Anquan Boldin had a couple touchdowns last week, so that's interesting. Matthew Stafford could be a nice play because he's pretty cheap. There's going to be some points scored is what I'm saying. So if you got some Lions or Packers, you probably want to throw them out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that Marvin Jones, Matt Stafford connection is coming along very lively, so look for that to continue.
All right, next up we have the Minnesota Vikings at the Carolina Panthers. Carolina, 7-point favorites at home. Over-under is 43. Manuel, I feel so bad for the Minnesota Vikings. Their defense is playing great. Their offense is decimated by injuries. What say you?
Why, did Stephon Diggs break his arm too?
He did not. I don't think that guy can break his arms. He looks pretty invincible.
Yeah, no, I think they're fine, man. I really, as long as the offensive line stays upright, and I know they're it's kind of banged up.
They lost their left tackle.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Who? The Alex Boone kid?
They no. Got from the Niners? No, not Alex Boone. They lost their tackle. I'll find his name, but I'll find his name.
You could. Yeah, no, I thought it was a guard that was banged up. That's a totally different story. If you lose your, you know, your bookend protecting the blind side of Sam Bradford. We know Sam Bradford is good to go down with a collarbone or shoulder or ankle, anything of that sort. But I mean, I thought you were going to talk about the Adrian Peterson injury, which I think is not that devastating, actually, because he had not really been productive as far as if you look at his yards per carry average this year. I think they need to finally evolve and just be a dump off team. And I think they can be with Bradford, you know, get the ball to Diggs and Charles Johnson, maybe incorporate Laquan Treadwell. I don't know what's going on with that kid. I really wish I had like a Minnesota connect because I don't know if he just doesn't know the playbook. I mean, obviously Sam Bradford learned it, but I don't know. I like Rudolph. I think Asiata and McKinney are going to do fine. This is definitely a tricky spot because they have to go to Carolina, but I think they're fairly hyped up, and I think scheme-wise, Mike Zimmer will always have them ready because this is the game that could have been had Blair Walsh not shanked that field goal. That was like a 12-yard field goal last year in the playoffs? Do you remember?
I think it was like a 27-yarder, and I think it was like five below. So I'll give him a little bit of leeway on that one.
No, hell no, bro. Don't do it. That was like a four-foot putt that he missed.
True. Oh, so yeah, I did find it. Matt Khalil, left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, is on injury reserve.
Oh, yeah, fellow USC tackle. So is he done for the year?
Yeah.
Thank you for looking that up.
Yeah, he's out for the year.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, well, I agree with you, man. Minnesota is going to be the team that can show that they can come back from injuries because they've had a lot of them, and they've been performing well this year so far with the cards they've been given, man. They had a lot of hype. They could lose their quarterback, Bridgewater. Now AP's gone. But you know what? I agree with you, Manuel. AP, it's not like he was running that great anyways. And they know what they got in McKinnon and Asiata. I think they're going to be a good 1-2 punch. Fantasy-wise, I don't know. It's kind of risky to pick McKinnon or Asiata. But if you pick right, you might be.
And actually, I don't think we'll be doing a fair analysis of the situation, because I think they picked up Hillman.
They did pick up Ronnie Hillman, but I mean, I think that's just insurance. They know.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, I think it's always underrated. Adrian Peterson might move the line, but to the public, but the people coming in, betting max bets on the internet and moving briefcases in Vegas, the Khalil injury is far worse than the Adrian Peterson injury. I guarantee you that much, especially when you're going to come up against the Carolina front seven, with Starla Tui and Thomas Davis and Keekly. So yeah, that's not a joke.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy wise, Stephon Diggs is going to be highly owned, and but he's very talented. Like I said, you know how I feel about the running backs. It's a crapshoot, but Jonathan Stewart's out. Carolina side of the ball. That means it's probably going to be a lot of Fozzie Whitaker and maybe some Cameron Artis Payne is going to sneak in there as well. You're obviously going to start Cam. You're going to start Kelvin. Last week there was some.
With that being said, I'm looking at the total. It's looking kind of low.
Yeah. Well, that's because these two defenses are really good, you know. This could be a ground and pound them game. This could be one of the games that Jonathan Stewart could have had like 25 carries for 80 yards and touchdown, and could have got us some points in our
Kings league. But not going too well. No, I could only bet it over. There is just way too. I mean, you throw in a Cordell Patterson special teams touchdown in there.
Defensive scores. I mean, Cam, as great he is, he's risky, so he's known to turn the ball over a couple times. And Sam Bradford can definitely throw a couple pick sixes.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyhow.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, even then, I can only bet Minnesota plus seven.
I'm getting
it opened up in a hook, so Minnesota's still getting the money. And that's just paid respect to Mike Zimmer. I think he's a great defensive coach. And let's not sell North Turner short, so I'm sure he'll have a scheme brought up to evade that Carolina rush. But yeah, you're right, let's move on.
All right. Denver at Cincinnati. Cincinnati are 3-point favorites at home. Over-under is 41. Here's another couple of really good defenses. Denver defense is looking like it hasn't lost a step since last year. What do you think, Manuel? Cincinnati, do they take care of business at home?
Well, man, that's tough to say. You have the Denver Broncos coming in. Trevor Siemian's showing that he can obviously get the ball to his receivers, that they could just hang on to it. CJ Anderson's proving that revamped offensive line sure is working for him. Obviously, Kubiak is definitely excited about having a quarterback that can get under center and take shotguns. Virgil, is that the tight end for Denver?
Yeah, Virgil Green.
He's proven that he could actually make a block or two and hang on to the ball. This is going to be a very, very tough game. It could come down to the kickers, and it just depends how the Cincinnati winds are swirling that day. If it does come down to that, I trust the Cincinnati kicker a little bit more, but that'll only get you a push. So, again, I think the 41 is a little bit under. I think, speaking for the public, it is – these are two good defenses, but what's his name? I think Andy Dalton for back-to-back weeks has thrown for over 350 yards. Now, while this may be the Denver D, this isn't Cincinnati. This isn't in Denver where they have that mile-high, you know, edge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I can only bet it over. I don't know. I mean, you probably think that sounds a little bit crazy because you do think, like, you know, these are two good defenses, but
you know me, I think like a square. So that would be the square pick, the under. But fantasy wise, I mean, CJ Anderson's been doing, you know, well. He's been getting all the work. Probably one of the best running backs, fantasy wise. But I really like Gio Bernard. He's priced higher on DK, and he's just the better running back at this point, probably in real life and in fantasy. So. You're going to start AJ Green, obviously, yeah, but I like Gio.
I can't disagree with you there, exactly.
All right, next game we got Arizona Cardinals at the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan needs a win so, so bad. 3.5-point favorites on the road are the Cardinals, though. The over-under is 47. Is Rex Ryan going to get his victory?
Yeah, well, I like the line a little bit more when it was Buffalo plus 4.5. Now, I know for a fact a lot of people were excited to bet Arizona. So, you know, for you got to talk for your fellow squares and you got to tell them, I don't know about this, something's going on, because Arizona, I'm sure, is like a 7-to-1 ticket ratio count in Las Vegas. But for some reason, line keeps going down. You understand what I'm saying? Like, how is it going down from 4.5 to 3.5? But yet, you know, 78% of the public is on Arizona. That's got to scare you a little bit.
Yeah, that means the Sharps and the big money's coming in on Buffalo. I wonder if that's because they fired their offensive coordinator and this is the week where they kind of switch it up on offense and adding some new wrinkles. I don't know.
I don't think it has anything to do with the fact who they fired or who the coach is. The fact is, you know, quote unquote, Sharps are going to love an 0-2 team with rest at home. You have a team crossing time zones in Arizona. They just put the butt whooping on Tampa Bay, and you have a desperate Buffalo team that is going to try their heart out. Now, whether it's going to be enough or they have the personnel to keep up with Arizona is another thing. But, I mean, if you're an Arizona backer, you have to be a little bit scared of how Carson Palmer has been performing this season. Something's up with that guy. So I don't see how you could lay it if you're an Arizona backer.
Yeah. No, I totally get what you're saying. So you're saying if you like Buffalo, bet it now so it doesn't get down to 3 for Arizona.
I can't see it going down to 3. And I'm telling you, I was at 4.5, so there's no way that you should bet it now.
Right. Remember how at the beginning of the year we were talking about who's the number one receiver in Arizona? Is it going to be Fitz, Floyd, or John Brown? Well, it's very clearly been answered. It's Larry Fitzgerald. So I think that's the guy
you want. It's only 2 games, though. And, you know, it's only 2 games. We'll see what happens. Obviously, I think Carson Palmer has shown an affinity towards the older guy, but we'll see what happens. And I think also, like I said, it's looking like they're really looking to not have Carson Palmer hang on to the ball that long, because if he thinks about it too long, he's going to throw it to the other team. So, I mean, Fitzgerald has just had good hands and he's such a big target. And these other guys, Jerron or John Brown or Floyd, they're just little speed demons. And, you know, I think the offense, Bruce Arians is going to have to see that if he wants to be an upper echelon team, his offense is going to have to evolve and he's going to have to put the ball back in the air. I think it's too soon to just say that, oh, okay, it's Larry Fitzgerald. But that's just me.
I'm saying, you know? So far. Maybe this is a game where, yeah, they need to air it out a little bit more. We'll see.
I mean, a lot of teams haven't even been – this is their first road game. You know, this is the first road game for the Texans, for the Cardinals, for the Broncos.
Right.
So, I mean, for Redskins, you feel my flow?
I feel what I'm saying?
Okay, thanks. That's cool, man. I'm glad you do that.
All right, next up we have another early game, Baltimore at Jacksonville. Baltimore is 1-point favorites on the road. Over-under is 47.5. Baltimore favorite on the road against Jacksonville. A lot of people were on Jacksonville at the beginning of the year saying they had a lot of talent. They haven't really shown it this year yet so far.
Yeah, and this is a big revenge game for Baltimore. Maybe that's why they didn't bring their A game against the Browns. I could only bet – gosh, I was going to say Baltimore. I obviously haven't bet this game. I haven't looked into it. I wish somebody was getting plus three because that's what I would bet. Baltimore, huge revenge spot. They actually had this team done and disgusted. I don't know if you don't remember, but last year off the face mask penalty – they gave Jacksonville an extra play with no time on the clock, 15 yards up, and their kicker nailed it to beat the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, this season, I'm talking about telling you guys, you know, Wise Guys 101, they bet 0-2 teams at home as underdogs. So they really, I don't really see an edge here. I think both these defenses are very fraudulent, and – yeah, the over is a little bit too high for my blood. I see it at 47.5. I know there's a lot of fantasy football players in Jacksonville, Bortles, you know, A-Rob, it, you know, the list goes on down, Yeldon. So, yeah, no lean. None of these teams are worth getting my money, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, T.J. Yeldon is someone to look at because he's been getting all the work with Chris Ivory out. But he hasn't really been doing much with it. And if he's only been saved if you have him in PPR leagues because he's been getting a lot of catches. But last week, I think he had like 8 catches for 10 yards or something ridiculous like that. So he barely saved you with those catches. You might want to see if Chris Ivory's coming back. Dennis Pitta, it looks like he's getting a lot of targets with Joe Flacco. And Mike Wallace has scored 3 touchdowns already this year. I don't expect that to continue. I would like to see some Kamar Aiken come back. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, he's actually already filed his paperwork. He's going to start week 9 when Steve Smith shuts it down. And Rashad Perriman's already out of the rotation. He already sprained his toe or one of his braids is broken or something, so he's out for next week. But Kamar Aiken's scheduled to come back week 9.
All right, thanks for the update. All right, last of the early games, we have the Oakland Raiders at the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee, 1.5-point favorites at home, over-unders 47. Manuel, are the Raiders going to play defense this week?
I mean, I'm pretty sure you heard it, right? You know, first team since 1967 to give up more than 500 yards of total offense, back-to-back weeks. So no, they're not going to play defense. You don't fix that overnight, you know? That is a scheme problem. It's just big problems. big problems. A little bit of personnel problems. But, yeah, this is an arena football. You can't just expect to go out and go for 2 like Oregon and come up with wins in this league. That was a one-time deal, and I don't – if the Raiders were going to be something this week, they would have done it last week and not toyed around. The Falcons aren't going to do anything this year. And the fact that they lost to the Falcons by nearly 2 touchdowns just goes to tell you what's going to happen to the Raiders this year, in my opinion.
You know, I caught the end of that game, end of the Raiders game, and I really, really hate watching them on that field, man, with that infield, with the dirt. That's just, I feel like, man, that's such a disservice to these players, you know, who put all this time and effort in and they got to play on that field. Bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, though. They get paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game. But I'm not trying to get political. This game is +1.5 for the Raiders. And if it does get to, you know, Tennessee +3, which I don't think it will because – you have so many Raider backers, and Tennessee is a fairly small market. But I can't really see myself getting to the, you know, not the window, but the click of a mouse to bet on the Raiders or the Titans.
I think there's I think fantasy-wise there's some good stacks in this game. If you want to go Carr, Cooper, if you want to go Mariota, Sharp, or Mariota, Sharp and Walker, or just Walker, I think there's going to be some points.
I think that's a trap, bro. I think that's a trap.
You don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored?
I don't know if like I said, there's going to be a lot of points scored, but there's just so much speed on the field when you're talking about Delanie Walker and Derrick Henry and Murray, Tajay Sharp, Andre Johnson, and on the other side of the Raiders, you know the roll call, the roster. But what I'm saying is the Tennessee Titans secondary, I don't think they've given up a touchdown –
via the air. I think last week they gave one away to like on a little screenplay, but they didn't allow a passing or a scoring touchdown to the Vikings. I think they're like the number one secondary right now, allowing the fewest yards in the league. Now, I know it's only two games. So I got on you for that. So I'm going to get myself about that. But, I mean, Stafford does like to throw the ball around, and he does have some big targets. You know, Marvin Jones, Ebron, a little Golden Tate. You know, we talk about Theo Riddick. So I think it was quite an accomplishment to beat the Lions in Detroit. You know, it's not like we know the Detroit Lions are going to pass the ball. It's not like they're going to sustain a running game. So I don't know if the Raiders can just show up and sling it around.
So maybe a good that's just me. So maybe a good pivot on a square kind of thinking, which mine was, is to play like a DeMarco Murray then, if you're playing DFS, because a lot of people are going to be on this passing game.
I've toyed around with the DeMarco Murray on my DFS teams or the kid Derrick Henry. I slobber for running backs that can catch the ball and do it well. So I actually like Derrick Henry, even though he's getting half the workload, but he just catches it better. So, I mean, that's what's been saving me. I'm a David Johnson owner, and I think he had like a sorry-ass yard per carry average, but he has like three catches for 94 yards last game, and, you know, that saved me. So, obviously, I know the Oakland defense is going to give up yards. So I can't say the same for the Tennessee secondary.
All right, well put. All right, next up we have the 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks are 9.5-point favorites at home, over under 40.5. Manuel, they're not 0-2, but it feels like they're 0-2, and they're at home, Seattle. They're trying to get their offense right. Are they going to get their offense right against the Niners at home?
They're not going to get their offense right, but it does help that they're playing in Seattle. And just the disparity in talent here is, I mean, I don't know about 10. This is another division game. I know, you know, the Giants, the San Francisco Niners are coming off that East Coast trip. I'm not a big believer in laying double digits, I'll tell you that. So if it gets to 10, I know the Niners are going to get some of my money because, yeah, Seattle should be 0-2. It doesn't matter what they should be or shouldn't be, but they're not very impressive looking bunch, I'll tell you that. I might be looking to get on Seattle in week 4 because that's when they're scheduled to get their guard, rookie Ifedi at Texas A&M. I'm looking forward to that because everybody's just going to – nobody ever really looks at, you know, what's going on in the trenches. And that's why I actually appreciate you telling me about Matt Khalil. That's actually a big bit of news for me. But, I'm not gonna lay it with Seattle. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and fantasy-wise, man, I mean – yeah, the Panthers put up a lot of points on the Niners last week, but they just look way better on offense than Seattle. Maybe this is the game when Wilson bounces back, but I'm not even risking it. Good luck. These are some two pretty good defenses. It's a division matchup. If you want to play someone in either of these games and they go off, more power to you, but I'm staying away on all accounts.
Yeah, even from the television, that game is going to be craptastic.
Oh, I'm going
to
watch
I'll be forced to watch it because I try to watch every game on the Red Zone, the shortcuts, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe even twice. If I miss a play, I'll watch it. I'll just have it on repeat. But I do, to the public knows, I do watch every game, just so you guys know. But actually, I didn't catch the Monday night game, though, but I was in Los Angeles. But that's
you didn't miss day. Much, man. You didn't miss much. All right, next up we have the Los Angeles Rams at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks are 5-point favorites at home. Over-under is 42. Bucks just got whooped on the West Coast while the Rams just won their first game at home against Seattle. What you got, Manuel?
Well, I know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Jameis Winston, and I guess he's the second most disliked player in the NFL. Behind Colin Kaepernick. So maybe this line is cheap because you know how many touchdowns the Rams have scored?
None.
Exactly. So I don't really expect an offensive explosion in Tampa Bay by the Rams. Unfortunate to say to you girly owners. And I don't think the Rams can replicate what the Cardinals did to the Tampa Bay last week.
So I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are excited to come home, and their fandom will show it. And as you could tell, the line's going up. It opened up 3.5. It's now 5. I could only lay it, but it's getting more expensive. And I just don't know what to make of these Rams. I mean, like you said, we talked about Tavon gets the opportunities. I mean, there's just – of course, there's going to be opportunities. There's downs in football, but I don't really see any progression by the Rams. I think their offensive scheme is ancient and just not a very well put together offense, the coaching staff or the players.
Right. Fantasy wise, Doug Martin's out. He's already been ruled out. So Charles Sims is getting all the work. This could be a sneaky good play for Charles Sims. If you're a Sims owner, if you want to play him, he might be kind of chalky this week in DFS, meaning a lot of people might try to play him because he's cheap and you know he's going to get the work. Is this the week Todd Gurley goes off?
Yeah, I don't think it is, man. I think actually what's going to happen, I can see where the Rams, become this exclusive home road dichotomy of a team where they just show up to play for their fans and do whatever it takes to win at home in L.A. They really protect the home turf. But, I mean, just crossing all these time zones, showing up to play in Tampa Bay. The only positive I can see is that it's a 1 o'clock game as opposed to a 10 o'clock in the morning game. But just what the Buccaneers are doing offensively and with the star power they got, I think it's almost a blessing in disguise that Doug Martin is hurt, honestly, because now they can really just concentrate on just passing the ball and spreading it out to whoever's open. Sims, Austin Safarian Jenkins, Vincent Jackson, of course, Beast, Mike Evans. So I can only lay it, but I haven't really quite got there.
All right, next up we have the Chargers on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. Colts are 2.5-point favorites at home, over under 51.5, the second highest total this week. Phillip Rivers losing a lot of weapons, man, but I see points being scored in this game. Not a lot of defense on the Indianapolis side.
So is this a game that's going to be the stack of the week game? You can stack your, Andrew Luck. I guess he missed practice today.
He did, and Moncrief's already been ruled out too. So you're looking at your Hilton and Philip Dorsett, maybe some extra Dwayne Allen or Jack Doyle love. I think Gore is kind of a sneaky pivot in this game because if Indianapolis gets up, somehow they're going to run it. And if they're down, Frank Gore got the catches last week too. So,
dude, Indianapolis is not a running team. The sneaky play is Turbin. And if you want a sneaky stack, I guess you could probably do like a, Luck with Dorsett. And hopefully for our sake, he comes through also. Or, we talked about the Phillip Rivers, Tyrell stack. So, and I think it's about time for the Hunter Henry, the second-round rookie out of Arkansas, for the Chargers to show his worth. And maybe this is the game because you said, the Chargers keep losing pass catchers, and that's exactly what Danny Woodhead was, a pass catcher. So, yeah, it seems to me like the over is getting the play. But like you said, there's a lot of players here not being accounted for. And, I mean, you need players to score points. So I'm not going to bet the over-under in total in this game because I can only bet it over, but I'm kind of nervous, to be honest with you. I don't know. This game feels eerily similar to what the New Orleans Saints and New York Giants did week 2.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree with that one. So I think you might want to find a couple players who might put up points, but be careful. All right, next up, another afternoon game. Pittsburgh at Philadelphia, battle of unbeaten teams right here. Pittsburgh 3.5-point favorites on the road. Carson Wentz looking pretty good out there, man. I think the Browns wish they would have kept that pick.
Browns wishing they would have kept that pick, and maybe the Rams wishing they would have took Carson Wentz number 1 overall. They would have had a starter.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I actually didn't like Pittsburgh coming into the year too much. I saw a lot of holes. Who they've played hasn't really told me a whole heck of a lot. They've beaten the Redskins.
Who did they beat last week? Oh, Cincinnati Bengals. That was actually pretty good. But I don't see how people are betting Philly. I don't like Philadelphia at all. I like Pittsburgh better. But I'm just going to stay away. I don't really see how this is a three-point game. And maybe it's some kind of trap game. I don't know. I mean, they're looking forward to just – I'm already looking forward to Le'Veon Bell coming back week four. But, yeah, I don't buy the Philadelphia Eagles 2-0. Do you?
I mean, they beat the Bears and they beat the Browns.
That tells you all you need to know. Dude, they beat the Bears and they beat the Browns.
And I think Pittsburgh is legit. So I'm kind of liking Pittsburgh, given the points, man. I think this is a really good game for Antonio Brown to go off, which that's not saying a lot. You know, he does that often, but he didn't do a lot last week. I think he had like 4 catches for like 50 yards.
And a couple crucial drops.
Yeah, and if Philly does fall behind, I like Darren Sproles in this game. And also maybe even Trey Burton or Brent Celek, one of the tight ends from Philly. Carson Wentz is looking good. I don't think he's looking good enough to beat Pittsburgh just yet.
Yeah, he hasn't come across a front seven like this. I'll give you that much. I don't like the Pittsburgh secondary, but I like Pittsburgh to beat Philadelphia.
All right, another afternoon game. We got some afternoon games. I like it. There's not just 2 or 3 this time. Last week was good, too. I like that. There was a lot of action in the afternoon. We got the Jets at the Chiefs. Chiefs are always a tough place to play. Chiefs are 3-point favorites at home, over under 43. The Jets are passing a lot. And
yeah, I definitely love what the Jets are doing. On my team reviews, I actually wrote down, because I was fairly pessimistic coming into the season for the Jets, but I put in like, man, this is an old team, but if they stay healthy, and you know, this is only week 3, and they're coming off rest, the Jets should really be 2-0. They pretty much outstated the Bengals in week 1 at home. They're so conservative, but they had like 4 trips into the red zone, and they got like 3 field goals out of it. They obviously corrected that mistake against Buffalo. I mean, the Buffalo defense isn't really much to speak of, but it was still a division game on a short rest. And, hell yeah, they were moving the ball up and down. And so I really like, you know, what the Jets are doing on the offense side of the ball. I guess Kansas City, all things being equal, their home field is worth 3 points, but they really should have lost week 1 against the Chargers. And obviously they got, you know, them being an extra level conservative, they only got like – I think they got like 5 field goals against the Houston Texans, you know? So, I don't know. I think this might be the wrong game to debut Jamal Charles, but you have to do it if you're KC because you're just struggling to, you know, actually come through in the red zone. Cairo Santos is not going to win you games, you know? You need to get the ball into the players' hands, you know, like the Jets are. The Jets are getting the ball into Forte. The Jets are getting the ball into Decker's hands and Nunez, you know, Brandon Marshall's. Kansas City needs to get the ball into Macklin and Kelsey and Jamal Charles.
Yeah, I mean, you need to keep an eye out to see if Charles is actually going to come back and play. If not, Spencer Ware has been productive, and he's getting those catches, so you're probably going to have to roll him. And if they do fall behind, Jeremy Macklin's always good for some catches. I need a Travis Kelsey game this week. Can Travis Kelsey just, you know, put up like one of those 8 catches for 100 for a touchdown? That'd be nice.
Yeah, I think this might be – I think I'm kind of liking the over in this game. You know, these are traditionally predominantly defensive teams. We talked about how inefficient Casey has been in the red zone, so they need to open up their playbook and they need to go for it on fourth down or just shake things up a bit because they really should be 0-2. And if the Jets came in there 2-0 and the Kansas City Chiefs were 0-2, we'd be talking about the Jets -3. I guarantee you.
All right. Next up, we have our Sunday night game. The Chicago Bears at the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas 7.5-point favorites. Chicago looked terrible on Monday night. They lost like 4 defensive players. Cutler's gone. Brian Hoyer's starting. How in the world can you even take the Bears?
It's easy. They're giving you 7.5. You know what I mean? The Dallas Cowboys just won their Super Bowl. They just won their bitter rival Redskins in Washington, D.C. to get to 500. Now they're going to host Sunday night. How the hell – how disappointed do you think the viewerships are going to be on Sunday night when this should be, you know, Jay Cutler and Romo? You know, they're good for about the over-under if they're playing together, 5.5 interceptions per game. And now you have Brian Hoyer and Dak Prescott. Everybody loves the Dak Prescott and Elliott and Fromo connection, not to mention Dez Bryant. You know, I think there's a grip of value on Chicago Bears. And it just comes down to coaching. John Fox just going to keep the team on an even keel, slow the game down for Brian Hoyer. I think he did make some starts and wins for the Texans last year. So this isn't really going to be too big for him. But I'm not laying any points with the Cowboys. I'll tell you that much.
True, I agree. I think this is a good Ezekiel Elliott game. Dez Bryant finally got a bunch of catches last week. Cole Beasley, you know, has always, well, not always, but these last two games has been getting a lot of targets from Dak Prescott. The Bears side of the ball, the only guy I'm really, I'm looking at Alshon, maybe Langford, but I'm staying away.
I mean, I like points, and I really like to go the other way. When you see a team crap themselves in the bed the way the Bears did on Monday Night Football, and then you have, you know, someone like you who said, you know, is the vice president of the Square Nation, come through and say, you know, how the hell could you put money on the Bears? They suck balls, you know? And I'm just like, well, you know, you just have to – the team isn't really ever as shitty as it was as it played or as good as they played. And the Dallas Cowboys were lucky to get out of D.C. with the win. So if the Cowboys are 0-2, this we'd be talking about the Cowboys +3, and I wouldn't bet it. But now we're talking about 7.5, and Alshon Jeffrey is a hell of a player. And if Brian Hoyer could just get him the ball and move the chains, I think we could have ourselves a ball game.
Yeah, you know, man, I like to give you the square side because I know you lean more to the sharp side, and it gives that good balance. Hey, before we go on to the next game real quick, looks like there's bad weather in Kansas City. I don't know if that's going to affect your over bet, but 75% chance of rain. Sometimes it could get ugly in KC, but just letting you know that.
Hey, that's good info, man. That actually for DFS owners, does that give Andy Reid a second, you know, thought whether he wants to debut Jamal Charles in this type of weather?
Yeah, I mean, monitor that. Even if he comes back, dude, I wouldn't play him until you see something. But he's also Jamal Charles. If he's back, he's probably back.
That makes more sense. I think the line, the weather is built into this number. I could really see it being more 45.5 if it was, you know, pristine, you know, weather. So I can see that, but I could still only see it to go over because these teams get the ball in the red zone. That has not been a problem for neither of these two teams this season.
All right, speaking of pristine weather, Atlanta Falcons on Monday night are traveling to New Orleans. New Orleans, 3-point favorites at home. 53.5, the highest total of the week. This is fantasy goodness all around. Matt Ryan is actually the highest scoring fantasy quarterback this year so far. Drew Brees is right up there. I think he's number 3 behind Cam. This is a game full of fantasy goodness. 53.5 is a high total, though.
Yeah, dude, this could be a good game where, like, you know, you play like a drinking game on Monday night if you didn't have to go to work or do anything on Tuesday, because you could just be like, all right, every time William Snead catches the ball, we have to take a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because, you know, or every time, you know, Tevin Coleman catches the ball. Every time Tevin Coleman catches the ball and every time Devontae Freeman gets a carry, we have to take a shot. And you'll be passed out by the second quarter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this game is going to be just arena football at its greatest. And just tune in because it's going to be tons of fun. And I was looking to actually play on Drew Brees, but some of the contests I'm in, apparently there's no Monday action. It's all Sunday because I was actually looking to have Drew Brees as my quarterback. And I was like, oh, man.
Everybody was looking for Drew Brees. Yeah, a lot of the tournaments on DraftKings are Sunday only. I can actually go back and change that one to Sunday and Monday. They put that out. But fantasy-wise, man, Julio Jones, actually, I read, hasn't really put up the greatest numbers against the Saints. I kind of like Jacob Tammy as a really cheap tight end option this week, and he's been getting a lot of targets. And Matt Ryan likes to throw it to Tammy. Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman, and that's the question. Freeman is still getting the carries, but Coleman's getting some passes too.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to contradict myself. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that I like, you know, my pass-catching running backs, you know, Sims and McKinnon and Theo Riddick and Forte and Jamal Charles, stuff like that. So I'm not going to go in and do that. But I like Devontae Freeman. I guess it's just, you know, I like Florida State running backs. But Tevin Coleman, he's a hell of a pass catcher. And you get this guy on the carpet, and I don't know if he can be caught. I don't think the Saints' offense can be – that muzzle can hold him 2 weeks in a row. Because did they score a touchdown? Oh, they did. Snead caught a touchdown in New York, right?
Yeah, Snead caught a touchdown. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But the weather was bad in that game, and you're right. It had a bad vibe all around. It was way too easy. Everyone saw that game, and they automatically thought of last year's 7-touchdown performance by Eli, and they were like, oh, over, and all this. And
yeah.
Way too square.
I would truly say this is more of an over-under game, but if I'm going to bet it, I can only bet New Orleans Saints. You have their dome, their precious dome. That's precious home territory on Monday night. They're 0-2. So I think the New Orleans Saints playing for their lives. Their defense played, you know, half-heartedly good, which is a good thing to see against the Giants. And I don't know if it's more predicated on the Giants' problems. I think it might have to do a little bit of both, but we'll see about what happens in week 4. Been a pleasure. So good luck to you this week, and good luck to Manuel's Moneymakers, right?
Hey, Manuel. We're going to have those bets posted on either Friday or Saturday, so look out for those. I'm expecting a big bounce-back week for Manny's Moneymakers. Editor's picks are 2-0, so you might want to check that out.
2-0, baby. Hey, I'm looking forward to those, too.
See if
I don't turn down a winner.
See if we can continue those going. So that's it, man. That's week 3. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely can't wait. God bless America.
All right, peace out.
Bye.
Tired of losing? Not winning enough? Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite sports gamble podcast.